back to Luke chapter 10. I think it's always helpful to have the Bibles open, isn't it? Just check what I'm saying to you is right, and you can just see, well, what's he actually where's he getting that from? So Luke chapter 10, I like to hear the rustle of pages. I can't hear many rustles going on, but there we go. Okay, so Luke chapter 10. Well, you may have picked up that I'm sort of thinking about being still before the Lord, about how life is so busy, isn't it? Life is just one blur. We rush here, we rush there, we pick that up, we do that, we ring that person, we do that job, we eat, sleep, work, and repeat. And before you know it, a week's gone, a month's gone, and then Christmas is here. And you think, whoa, where did that year go? We have cars to get places quicker. We have washing machines to wash our clothes. We don't have to slaughter the lamb or pluck the birds to have dinner. We have all kinds of pre-prepared things. You just stick it in the microwave, or at least I do, and then that your food's done. We have power tools to speed up DIY. It amazes me. How did they cope 100 years ago? I don't know how they just fitted it all in. We can't cope with all our technology. Why is that? I'll leave you to ponder that one. But in such a busy life, you have to prioritize, don't you? You start the day with 101 things and you think, right, I'm not going to get through all of these things. So what's my priority here? What absolutely has to be done today? Now, if I was to ask you what your priority is or should be as a Christian, I wonder what you would say. What is your priority? In fact, just think in your head for a second, not what should be my priority, but what actually is my priority in my life? What do I get out of bed for? What am I living for? What is my life all about? Can you do that? Have you got that? What is the most important thing to you? Just click save on that thought. We'll come back to it a little bit later. Luke chapter 10 is full of busyness. The 72 went out on mission at the beginning of it. There's the parable of the Good Samaritan and the call to be good neighbors. There's lots of stuff going on in this chapter. And then we retire to this much more serene scene. Jesus came into the village and Martha opens her home to him. She loves him. She welcomes him. She's going to look after him. You can almost imagine Jesus taking off his sandals as he enters her house, breathing a sigh of relief, putting on his slippers and settling down into the armchair. He's amongst friends, and the tempo slows. Martha isn't the only person in the house. She had a sister, Mary. And before we get to Martha, we're going to consider Mary. We're going to do that on our first point, Mary, sitting at the Lord's feet. I don't know most of you, but I do know you're all going to be different. We all have different likes and different dislikes, different attitudes, different characters. Some will like the hymns. Some were like the modern songs. Some were like this. Some were like that. We're all different, aren't we? I wonder what people would say if they had one sentence to describe you. What is characteristic about you? Some may say, well, she's a diligent, hard worker. Some might say about you, oh, it's a bit moody. It's a bit unpredictable, that one. I'm sure no one would say that about any of you, though. Some might say, well, she's so in control and unflappable. Or he's got such a servant heart. Well, what characterizes Mary? Luke only tells us four things about her. She's Martha's sister. She sat at the Lord's feet. She listened to Jesus. And she'd chosen what was best. That's it. We don't find out what she did for a living. We don't find out if she'd been married, if she had children. We don't know if she was fat or thin. We don't know if she was musical, attractive, or popular. No, what defines Mary here is who she is with and what she is doing. What defines her is who she has made her priority in her life. I wonder if that could be said about you. That it's Jesus that defines you. So Jesus and presumably his 12 disciples, they've stopped off at Martha's and Mary's house. Lazarus doesn't get a look in here. It's a quieter occasion. It's a break from the crowds. And as Jesus is sitting there, he's teaching, he's speaking. Even in this more social, relaxed environment, Jesus takes the opportunity to speak truth into their lives. And isn't this how it should be when we get together as Christians? You know, you're having a coffee or having a meal. You're just meeting up with someone. You know, teaching people, it doesn't have to be someone standing on a pulpit imparting a sort of truth from the front. Teaching can take place when we get together for a coffee in the home groups. Actually, do you know that's what discipleship is? It's helping someone follow Jesus better. We sort of think that discipleship is this big, scary thing and only the professionals can do it. Do you know the Bible's full of one another commands? Do this for one another, teach one another, encourage one another. Just as we get together, you invite someone around for a meal. You just go around for a bike ride or a walk or a run with someone. It's a teaching opportunity. How you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? Can I pray for you? Just as how simple it is. Jesus takes this relaxed opportunity to disciple his disciples. So Jesus is here, he's speaking, and he is no ordinary speaker, is he? He is the living, speaking word of God in their presence. We don't know what he said, but to have the Son of God in their midst, what a privilege. Well, I don't know about you, but if Jesus came to visit you and he knocked on your door and then came in and you made him a cup of tea, wouldn't you listen to everything he said? You would be glued, wouldn't you? You'd be like, I don't want to miss a single word of this. This is it. This is Jesus. You would be all ears. And Mary, she doesn't want to miss a single word. As the words of life flow from Jesus' lips, she's as close as she can be, soaking it all up. This is what Luke tells us about Mary. This is characteristic about Mary. She's sitting at Jesus' feet. Or maybe that's just because the disciples had all nicked all the chairs, so she has to sit on the floor. But she's as close as she can be to Jesus. She doesn't want to miss a word. By the way, this shows us something about Jesus too. In those days, rabbis didn't approve of women learning theology. Theology and teaching, that was just for the men. But the greatest rabbi in the world doesn't send Mary off to go and bake a cake or get the biscuits or something. He doesn't rebuke her, he's teaching her. Jesus is for all, isn't he? For men and for women, for boys and for girls, whoever you are, whatever age you are, let them come to me, Jesus says. For it's the best thing in the world to sit at Jesus' feet and listen. And we have many of Jesus' words written down for us. We have his teaching and his word through the apostles. I wonder if, like Mary, we treasure those moments when we can set aside everything else and just open his word. Do we treasure those times when we can be still before our Lord and learn and listen? In fact, let me ask another question. Are you ever still before the Lord and just open up his word and read it and meditate on it? It's precious, isn't it? 2 Timothy 3:15, the scripture makes us wise for salvation. I wonder if we take it a little bit too lightly sometimes. Should we go to church today? Can I be bothered? I'm not feeling that well. I just won't go. This is God's word, isn't it? our Creator, our Sustainer, our Savior wants to teach us something through His Word. That's why He's given it to us. It's a real privilege to have such easy access to it. It's a privilege to be able to just open it whenever we want. It's a privilege to be able to come and hear it explained. It's a privilege to go into our home groups and hear discuss it together. God's Word is God speaking to us. It's powerful. It's not just dead, old stuff. This is living. The Spirit takes His Word and pushes it into our hearts. This is God's Word. We need to make that time to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. Mary cared. She couldn't get this anywhere else. There's no one like Jesus. He spoke the very words of God. Nothing's going to drag her away from her Jesus. She treasured being in His presence. She treasured listening to Him. Oh, that we would have the same hunger for our Lord. Don't you want to know more of Him? That should be our desire. I want to know more of Jesus. We should hunger for that. I wonder if you long to be in His presence. Is that you? Really? Well, Mary did. But whilst Mary saw her time with Jesus as her priority, whatever else needs to be done, I need to spend time with Jesus. That was her priority. Her sister Martha had other priorities on her mind, and we see that in verse 40. But Martha. We're going to look at Martha in our second point. Martha. When serving becomes ugly. I don't know about you, but I find myself sympathizing a little bit with Martha sometimes. She had a lot to do, didn't she? No one else was doing it. And Jesus had come to her house, presumably also with the 12 disciples. So she now had at least another 13 people to feed. And there's customs, there's traditions to uphold. There's teas and coffees to make. There's potatoes to peel. There's a chicken to pluck. There's cream to be whipped. There's a table to be set. There's so much to do. And she wants to do her best because, after all, it's Jesus. You can't just give Jesus a pot noodle, can you? And the Bible commends and commands hospitality. So what she's trying to do is good. She's trying to honor her guests. She's doing being the dutiful host. And that is all good. But she's rushed off her feet. You can picture it, can't you? Mary was helping to begin with. But then Jesus arrives and Mary just seems to go off. And she leaves Martha to do all the work. The gravy's burning. There's no one to carve the chicken. They're all in there. And she's stuck out there in the kitchen. And there's nothing quite so irritating, is there, as when you are rushed off your feet, trying to do everything, and no one's helping. They're all just sitting there, having a nice time, a nice conversation. And you hear it, don't you? The happy conversation sort of wafting in from the other room. The occasional guffaw as people laugh. And you can hear snippets of what Jesus is saying. You think, well, I'm missing out. That's not fair. And it would make you cross, wouldn't it? You think, well, it's not fair. I'm getting cross. And that's what's happening with Martha, this build-up of emotion, of anger, resentment. She started to serve the Lord, because make no mistake, she loves Him. She wants to do her best for Him. And she wants to make this feast to honor Him. But what started out as well-intentioned hospitality is now turning a little bit sour. As the minutes go by, her annoyance is building. Her joyful service is starting to be consumed by bitterness and resentment about the situation, until she can hold it in no longer. Right, I'm not having this. And she marches into the room. You've got to picture this, because it's really quite embarrassing, actually. And she marches into the room, and she presumably cuts Jesus off mid-flow, stamps her foot and says, Lord, don't you care? Isn't that shocking? You can imagine how awkward this is. The sudden silence. The intake of breath. This is a needle coming off the record moment, isn't it? She's been transformed from the woman who so graciously opened her home to Jesus, wanted to serve Him, into being filled with anger and actually doubting that Jesus cares about him. Don't you care for me, Jesus? And then she even presumes to bark out an order to Jesus, tell her to help me. Jesus, come and tell, be on my side, Jesus. Tell her to come and help me. Her service has suddenly become a little bit ugly, hasn't it? So what's gone wrong? Well, her intentions may have started well. Her priority and timing, however, were wrong. Whereas Mary realized that to have Jesus come was such an honor, and to be with him and to listen to him, that was the best thing that anyone could do. So much so that she just had to stop everything else, drop the food, even those other important things. They're not as important as listening to Jesus, because it's Jesus. And he was speaking, so what could be more important than listening to Jesus? Jesus is where it's at. She had realized that. He's explaining the kingdom. He's explaining how to be saved, the glories of heaven, the glories of his Father. He's speaking about mercy and compassion and eternal life and knowing him. How could she be anywhere else? She wouldn't want to miss this. This is life. This is it. But Martha, although she loved Jesus, verse 40, she is distracted. The Greek word, it means to be dragged away. Her attention has been diverted from Jesus onto other things. Her service for Jesus has become more important than actually being with Jesus. Do you get that? Her service for Jesus has become more important than actually being with Jesus. It's a danger for us, isn't it? Life is so busy, so many expectations, so many responsibilities, so much to do. We can barely keep on top of it. And before you know it, our priorities are completely skewed. We forget what an awesome privilege it is to come into the Lord's presence. We forget what an awesome privilege it is to open his word. We forget what a wonder it is that we can pray, and what a wonderful thing it is to have someone explain his word. We forget that coming and singing songs together is an act of real praise to our living God. We forget these things. We get distracted by all the sorts of things. And before you know it, we can miss church. It's our birthday or it's our holiday, so we treat ourselves by retreating from God and his word. It amazes me. I can say this because you're not my home church, but it amazes me. Sometimes you see at church people treat themselves. They go off to the beach or a picnic or something instead of coming to church, and they post it on Facebook. And I think, what's wrong with you? That's terribly judgmental of me, isn't it? But, you know, what's wrong with you? Where's your priority here? Of course, there's always exceptions and everything else. I know, I understand that. But let's remember our priority. Or sometimes, once someone was cooking dinner for someone after church. And so they decided not to come to church because they wanted to give them a good meal. Just give them beans on toast. Seriously, you're meeting with the King of Kings. Just priorities. We are to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to his word, to spend time with Jesus. If we neglect that, then, well, you might be okay for a bit, but make no mistake, if we start to neglect those special times of meeting with Jesus, when we neglect our time of meeting together with his people, sooner or later, things are going to go wrong. Martha neglected her top priority, and that was being with Jesus, and her service changed from being joyful service to a chore. And it's so common in churches, isn't it? We start off well. We have a real heart for Jesus. We want to serve him. We throw ourselves into serving him. And in the busyness of life, the demands of serving, somehow we forget what the priority should be. We forget what we need above all else. We need to spend time with Jesus. We need to spend time in his word. And we can't actually give to people what we haven't taken in ourselves. If we haven't filled ourselves up on his word and haven't humbled ourselves, been humbled by his word, been reshaped, been empowered by his word, our once good service will soon become something else. It will become bitter, resentful. It will become all about me. It's what I'm doing that's important. It's why isn't anyone else helping me? Look at them. No one else does anything. It's all about me, isn't it? Do you ever feel like that? It's about my ministry. We start to lose the big picture that we're all in one church and one family together, serving together. And then it's all about that little corner where I am serving. And that's the most important thing. I don't care about you lot, but, you know, and we start to just think about me. It changes into something horrible. Have you ever thought, I don't know what would happen to that church if I wasn't there, you know? I don't know how they'd carry on. Suddenly it becomes about me. But do you know what? This church, my church, our church, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not even about your church leaders. It's about Jesus. You're serving, hopefully, because you spent time with him. Because you know him, you treasure him, you are serving because you love him, aren't you? Yes, I agree. There will be some people that are lazy and they will need to be shaken awake. Yeah, you get that in every church. I know. But if we spend time with Jesus, it will protect us from becoming bitter and thinking it's all about me, it's all about my work. Martha had good intentions, but she confused her priorities. And so her service became more important than actually spending time with her Lord. Hospitality, service, life, rotas, it's all good. But if we neglect sitting before the Lord, spending time with the Lord, listening to him, then we'll get our priorities wrong and we'll be serving in our own strength and it'll just become ugly. It'll be a duty and we'll resent it. So Martha's annoyance, it boils over and she makes this scene. And in the stunned silence, let's see how Jesus responds. That's our final point. Jesus choosing what is best. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Maybe we feel like that sometimes. Lord, don't you care? Can't you see all I'm having to do? I can't cope. Look at how Jesus replies to her. Verse 41, Martha, Martha. There's a rebuke there. But it's full of compassion, isn't it? Martha, you're worried, you're upset about many things. You see, Jesus knew her. He knew her problems. He knew those many things that were pressing down on her. You're upset about many things. In fact, it might just be that this dinner party that's gone sour, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Many things. Jesus says you're anxious about many things. You're troubled about these many things. Perhaps it's more than just that dinner. Perhaps there's all sorts of things happening in our life. It's often the way, isn't it? There's all sorts of pressures happening in our life, and then one little thing happens and we explode, don't we? Perhaps that was with Martha. Perhaps she had health problems, future problems, money problems. We don't know. I'm guessing. But Jesus says, you're troubled about many things. The worries of life pressing heavily down upon her. And then this, and she just can't cope. But Jesus knows. See, he knows. He cares about her. In her outburst, he gently corrects her. She's been so busy, taken up with all the preparations that she wants to do for Jesus, she's missing out on all that Jesus wants to do for her. You see, she's trying to do something for him. He wants to do something for her. Jesus didn't require a feast. If only she'd just stop and spend some time in his presence, all the other troubles, they wouldn't go away, but they'd be put in their proper context, in their proper perspective. Verse 42, but one thing is necessary. We fill our lives with so many things, but in reality, they're not what is needed most. Sometimes it takes something shocking to make us realize what actually matters in life, doesn't it? So you can be so full of stress about getting that report in or that work situation that just, it's just driving you down and getting the housework done, or sorting the garden, and it all becomes so important, the family thing, getting the Christmas just right, all these stuff, and you think they're so big, they're so important, I've got to buy all the presents and all that stuff, you know, and we get all stressed about it, and then suddenly a loved one gets critically ill. Doesn't that put things in perspective? You suddenly think, actually, all that other stuff is that can wait. It's not important, is it? You know, that sports event, the dinner, the house being a mess, the child doing that activity, it's not been quite perfect. It doesn't matter. Sometimes it takes something shocking to get us to see things for what they really are. Martha had allowed other things to become the priority, to become too important, when only one thing deserved to be her priority, and that was spending time with the Lord. Other things, it's not that they're not good and necessary, important. Of course, you've got to feed your children, take them there, all that other stuff. They need to be done. We need to do these things, don't we? But there is one overriding thing that everyone who follows Jesus needs to do, and that is to sit at his feet, to be still, to be fed. And perhaps you're sitting there thinking, come on, Matt. Get out your ivory tower. Live in the real world. You know, life is too busy for this being still before the Lord. I know life's busy. So does Jesus. He knows you like he knows Mary. He knows the things you go through, the struggles, the things that are on your mind now. He knows there's stuff to do. I think this is why Luke puts this account where he does in his gospel. See, at the beginning of chapter 10, we see how the disciples are sent out on mission. It's really exciting. It's busy. People are being saved. And then there's a challenge of what it means to be a good neighbor. And it's not easy to be a good neighbor. It's going to take time and effort and sacrifice and all those things. But here, in case we neglect what is of primary importance, if we're to be of any use, if we're to serve with the right attitude, we need to spend time in the presence of God, feeding on his word, being still before him, tasting and seeing that he is good. It's what enables everything else. That's why Jesus says, Mary has chosen what's best. It's not that Martha's service was wrong, but before we can serve in a God-glorifying way, we need to be with the Lord. She hadn't grasped who had come into her house. God made flesh, the Son of God, from whose lips came the very words of God, and she was worried about the gravy. That could wait. Yes, they would get hungry. Yes, people might be disappointed. Expectations might not be met, and that happens in the church. Oh, we've got to do this because people expect it and tradition and everything else. Yes, things might not be as she wanted and as everyone else wanted, but that could come later. Right now is the time to feast on the bread of life and to receive. I wonder sometimes if we've got our priorities wrong and we let stuff, even church stuff, overtake drawing near to the Lord. I wonder if your service, your ministry has lost its joy. Could it be that we've neglected to sit at the feet of Jesus? Could it be that we have become distracted in our service for him? Could it be we're so busy doing stuff for Jesus, we've lost that personal intimacy with Jesus? I'm not saying we should all quit what we're doing for the Lord. We need to be out on mission. We need to be those good neighbors. We need to be serving the Lord and pouring ourselves into the work. And it's hard and it's sacrificial. But before all else, we need to make time to be with Jesus. So will you do that this week? Will you make him your priority? Spend time in prayer. Open up his word. Pray through his word. Stick on a worship CD. Just spend some time worshiping him. It's not easy because there's so many important things that are going to drag us away, but don't miss the blessing of knowing Jesus just because you were too distracted by the things of this world. Knowing Jesus is the most important thing ever. Let's be quiet for the Lord. Allow his words.